Well, welcome. This is a brief history of Owen. This is presented by myself, Ryan Riley. And moderated by Cameron Taggart. I'm Ryan Riley. I am an engineer at Tachius. We do oil and gas production optimization for oil fields. I'm also a member of the Owen Management Committee. So when I say from the horse's mouth, I'm speaking directly of myself. I might actually be a donkey, but that's up to you to decide. I'm also an ASP Insider, a Visual F Sharp MVP, and I lead the community for F Sharp. Our moderator today, Cameron Taggart, also works with me at Tachius as an engineer. He is also a fellow F Sharp MVP and maintains the SourceLink project. And I know what you're thinking. You're probably wondering if I'm going to try and convince you all to become F Sharp developers. This is not going to be an F Sharp sales pitch. I do highly recommend you check it out, but this is going to be much more a talk about Owen, the way that it evolved. And we're going to be doing it from a problem solution review of how this thing came about. A lot of people don't know a lot about Owen. It suddenly popped up in many people's screens or projects when they installed the last version of MVC and had some security things in there. So a lot of times when I ask people what they think Owen is, they think of it as a security protocol or some way to add security to their web apps. Some people know a little bit more that it's meant to be a separation of server and client or web application frameworks. And that is indeed the actual truth. Most people are familiar with and confuse it with the Katana project, which Sam mentioned in the last talk. And I don't know if this is entirely true, but I'd like to think that Owen helped lead the way and pave the way for the new ASP.NET MVC and vNext projects that have come about and have allowed ASP.NET projects to run on multiple platforms. So it's a super exciting thing. Let's go ahead and start looking at why exactly did we create Owen? What was the impetus and the general push for behind it? Why did we pick the things that we did? And then towards the end, we'll start looking at like, where is it now? Where is it going? And is it still a viable option? Is it still something you should care about? All right, so moving right along. To begin with, you have to set yourself back to around the year 2010. So at that time, MVC was a thing. Web API was not. In fact, Web API was at that time still in like previews and called WCF Web API. It was not available yet, except for a few people or the people who dared actually try something new. Everything was still tied to IIS and ASP.NET, and that was really where some of the concerns and the general push behind Owen became or got started. So the concerns were generally that ASP.NET was too heavy. It was too bloated. It was too tied to IIS, and IIS was too slow. A lot of things were still web forms, MVC. And again, thinking back to that time, Node really hadn't taken off yet. I think it had been developed, but it wasn't really a major player. Rails was still pretty popular. Sinatra was becoming more popular. And a lot of people in the .NET community, in the open source community, started creating solutions to mimic what Sinatra was doing in the Ruby world. So there were a whole bunch of these things. There was Boat that Scott Kuhn created, Figment, Frank. Many people might actually remember Kayak, which was one of the first web server slash frameworks that actually ran on Mono. Another one that's not on here is Manos de Mono. I'm not even sure if that's actually still a thing. I think it is, but there would be people basically building web servers and then frameworks to run on top of those web servers. Kayak was meant to be an optional framework on top of the web server. One that a lot of people actually may recognize is NancyFX. This was also started around this time. Another one that was similar to Nancy was Nina. And again, you see a lot of the correlation, Frank, Nancy, Nina, all kind of tying back to the Sinatra name. There's also Interac, Open Rasta, which was a totally separate MVC-like framework, Suave, WCF Web API, and of course many others. So one of the big problems with this is that there was a lot of repetition. There were a lot of implementations of Sinatra, as I just mentioned. It was supporting Sinatra to .NET. Each one of these things created their own adapters for running on top of ASP.NET. There were a bunch of adapters for running on self-host, which at the time was pretty much limited to HTTP listener, and in some cases on Kayak or some of the other servers. So on September 7th, I sent an email to several people asking if people would be willing to work together and collaborate and stop doing so much of this replication, instead kind of build a kind of a core framework thing that we could all build upon. Now, again, I'm not trying to claim credit for this. Obviously, a lot of people were working on this, but the first email was sent out that way. Benjamin Vanderveen, who is now mostly working on iOS, but with the time was working a lot of .NET open source and was the creator of Kayak, responded back with a bunch of, with several interfaces that we could look at. Now, one thing you'll notice here is we actually have type interfaces at this point. And we're looking at creating a general server API. So the interface HTTP responder was creating something that would allow for a request and context and that sort of thing. And it's doing something similar to what we see in ASP.NET Web API. So this is expecting a request and some other information from the server and then returning a response. You'll note that it's using observables in a lot of places here. And a lot of this was tied to how Kayak was built. So the interfaces were more or less sort of lifted out of Kayak. I think Benjamin had done some work to kind of make this more palatable to everyone. But so he sent this, you know, towards the end of the same month. And then a couple of months later, Scott Kuhn created the .NET HTTP Abstractions Group, which is now called Owen Working Group. And if you're interested in looking through the history or joining in the discussions, most of the discussions happen on GitHub today. But if you want to go back and look and even submit additional discussions there, you can join that Google group. It is still sort of active. But there's a lot of history in there. It's actually kind of interesting to go back and read through some of the discussions. We'll be covering a lot of this at the high level today, obviously. But this is where we were at the time. All right, so new problem. Again, a lot of people had created a lot of solutions. They all liked their solutions, obviously. So we had to come up with a way to fight through the opinions in the existing implementations. So the first solution was we decided to define a common interface that everyone would be satisfied with. That was a tough climb to overcome. We decided to make it an interface and follow the RAC and WSGI models. Now RAC in Ruby is both an interface and an implementation. WSGI in Python is a pure interface. It's really more of a protocol. There's no like typed interfaces or anything. It's just a definition, a specification for how you build apps. And these are both inspired by CGI. So Owen is likewise inspired by, you know, originally CGI, but then also RAC and WSGI. And then we also decided, you know what, we're okay sharing server wrappers. So that was quite exciting. We could get rid of all these duplicate server wrappers and share some common implementations there. So we had some progress. It's very exciting. We actually formed a group. We named this OWEN, Open Web Interface for .NET. This name came from Sebastian Lambla, and you will recognize a lot of his projects, Open Rasta, Open HTTP, OWEN, obviously. And then we got the domain name, we began writing the specification, and we decided our big, hairy, audacious goal was going to be getting ASP.NET MVC to run on top. Now, at the time, this seemed extremely difficult because, again, MVC was tied to ASP.NET, it was tied to IIS. There were ways and documented approaches for breaking this out and being able to host MVC on top. I don't remember if anyone actually made the attempt to do so at the time, but this was sort of our big goal. We wanted to make sure that we could run existing mainstream apps that a lot of people were already developing on multiple platforms, on multiple servers, being able to self-host it, that sort of thing. All right. But of course, we ran into more trouble. How could this happen? This is the .NET open source ecosystem. How would we have any problems? Well, it turns out there's a lot of different factions, and this is true across multiple open source communities. So the factions broke down basically along these lines. How primitive are the types we're going to use? Should we share or require a library dependency? Again, remember, a lot of these things came about because so many people had already built out and spent a lot of time developing and creating their own interfaces, their own types, their own libraries. They were tied to these things. They liked what they had done. There were some disagreements with some of the other implementations. So we had some pretty healthy debates about how we do this. Following down this line was also, do we do it more object-oriented, or do we focus on a more functional style where we look at passing in like interfaces? The previous interfaces were primarily a single method taking in additional interfaces. That, for the most part, is the same thing as a delegate, except it's a little bit leaning towards an OO style versus a functional style. So we were having these debates. The functional style also allowed us to follow not having a library dependency because we wouldn't have to have any interface definitions or other things like that. So that was part of that divide. And lastly, again at this time, Iron Ruby and Iron Python were actually being developed actively at Microsoft. There were some fairly large communities around both of those languages. And so having some Iron Ruby people and some Iron Python people in the mix, we were debating how typed do we actually want this thing to be? What do we have to do to make this work well with the Iron and DLR languages in addition to the CLR common languages? So we came up with some solutions to these things. Of course, I think this took like 2 months to debate through, and we went through all sorts of different approaches and ideas, but the basic solutions we came up with were, we're only going to use types from the framework class libraries. So this meant primitive types was pretty primitive. We decided we were not going to have a library dependency. Now, this wasn't a big deal for a lot of the people in the group, but several key players really didn't want to have to depend on a common library. So we ended up opting to keep everyone involved and not have a library dependency. We went ahead and went with delegates instead of having interfaces or definition or other type definitions. Again, this sort of followed from not having a library dependency, so we pretty much had to do this approach. And lastly, with the static dynamic typing aspect, we ended up picking iDictionary String Object. Now, obviously, this is a fairly easy thing to pick, but like looking back on it, especially now that the Iron languages, the DLR, is not really that big of a thing for us in the .NET space anymore, a lot of people were kind of frustrated by the fact that we picked iDictionary String Object. There's a lot of boxing going on. There's no expectation of types. So there's some debate about how well this actually has played out over time, but for the most part, this got us moving forward, and it has worked well so far. And when you think about the fact that we're actually reading off of a stream, nothing is typed there anyway. So to some degree, iDictionary String Object makes some sense. I'm not going to defend it any further than that, but that's how we landed with that specific dictionary type as the primary holder of all the context for request and response. We had another problem. How do we represent async access to the message body? Well, this one was a really fun debate, and it led to some problems later on, as we'll see. So the first proposed solution was to use stream. Now, everybody kind of used streams at the time, not necessarily in the implementations that had come about for implementing Sinatra on .NET, but stream was a pretty common and is still a very common API for people to use. Unfortunately, we rejected this pretty early on. Again, the too heavy, you'll see that some of these things are not necessarily quite as rational as we would have liked, but there was just a general feeling that it was too heavy as an interface or a whole bunch of things we had to implement on it. At the time, task was still not available, so there was no read async or write async or any of those types of things on stream. You had to use the APM model, and because of all the iAsync results, people were considered that that would be too slow, and we decided to go ahead and throw it away and not worry about using stream. So the second proposed solution, and this you'll recognize again from what Benjamin had originally proposed, was using iObservable. This too was rejected. One of the things that we were debating at the time with respect to Node, because Node was becoming more and more prominent as we were making these decisions, was talking about pack pressure. And so since we're looking at probably making more of a single-threaded model and making sure that this thing worked for all types of different servers, we wanted to make sure that we could handle back pressure. But at the time, we didn't understand how back pressure would work with iObservable. It also required library dependency that for .NET 3.5, which was the reactive extensions. And honestly, that actually is probably true for everywhere, but for all versions of .NET, that is. But that was sort of the reason we rejected this at the time. It did actually satisfy our .NET requirement, unlike Task, which was our third solution. At the time, .NET 4 was very new, and so because some contributors had established a .NET 3.5 user base and needed to maintain backwards compatibility for them, Task was basically thrown out. It was not allowed in. So what to do? Solution number four, and I believe Mark Rindle coined this term, the delegate of doom. Now, this was a series of delegates, and if you just look at this, you will start you know, having a very uncomfortable feeling in your stomach. This addressed the back pressure. It kept us from having a library dependency. It actually implements a lot of what Task does internally, except without the nice task and simplicity of the task type or the built-in library support for tasks. So, of course, it became difficult to implement. So what do you do when something becomes difficult to implement? Well, there was a reference library slash helper library called Gate. Now, the funny thing about Gate is that it sort of became a dependency. A few people were able to implement the delegate of Doom and got it working. Nobody seemed to really enjoy doing so. But we did get it working. It was, did a pretty good job. Gate actually showed that it could work and actually had some really good test servers built out around the idea. And it got us, again, continuing to move forward. We were starting to make pretty good progress in adapting the existing frameworks to using this thing. A few of the people who had been contributing decided at this point just to like throw up their hands and say, forget it, I'm not going to deal with this thing. And then we had a huge win. SignalR decided to build on top of Owen. Now, many of you may remember SignalR was originally the side project developed by David Fowler and Damian Edwards. This was not originally an ASP.NET project. So at the time, as SignalR was not an ASP.NET project, they decided to go ahead and build on top of Owen and use those server adapters that were already existing. That was fantastic. This was a huge win for us because there was already signs that SignalR was going to be moving into the ASP.NET family of libraries and products. So this sort of gave us the light towards, our big, what we thought of as a big, hairy, audacious goal that we would never be able to achieve. So we were getting really excited about this. Unfortunately, there was a new problem. The complexity of Delegate of Doom wasn't actually not the problem, but rather SignalR was not compatible with the Delegate of Doom. So Lou Dujardin wrote up a description of what the problem was described these as single tap versus double tap. So if you're again familiar with those interfaces we looked at before that Benjamin had first proposed, a function that takes a value and returns or takes the request and returns the response, it's considered double tap. So Owen was originally a double tap. ASP.NET Web API, if you're familiar with that, is a double tap. It's all the handlers will take the request and then give you back the response. And then internally, the runtime will then translate that response back into the socket stream going back out. Again, several other of the frameworks are also doing this double tap sort of approach. And Rack, what we originally decided to build on top of or emulate, was also double tap. Single tap is basically allows you to write back to the response stream at any point in time. Well, SignalR, since it's doing WebSockets and servicing events and things like that, needs that ability. It needs to be able to get a request and then start writing back out, may receive some additional things and then write back out some more. A lot of other tools that already existed in ASP.NET, such as Razor, WebForms, MVC, all use single tap. There's ways you can start writing right out to the response stream immediately if you need to. Fubu MVC also did this. Node.js follows this model as well. So all this work, at this point, I think we've been a year or two in. Yes, we were 2 years into this thing. It was completely undone. And of course, now that we're 2 years in, .NET 4.0, which was brand new back in 2010 and early 2011, was now pretty much the norm. And since we really wanted SignalR, we decided, you know what, let's have a discussion. Let's figure out what can we do with this thing. And we actually found out that we could actually leverage task now. And so our delegate became extremely simple. And this is what you see now as the app func, as it's commonly called. It's a delegate, a func, a generic func that takes in the iDictionary string object, the environment dictionary, and returns back a task, basically saying, I'm done. This addresses the async problem that we had very nicely. Obviously, the back pressure is handled through tasks very well. The environment dictionary of string object now includes both the request and the response things, which is to some people a little bit kind of dirty or messy, but again, works fairly well. The biggest challenge with this is that the entire specification now exists in documentation form. There's nothing in this type signature that gives you any indication as to what you can actually do. There's very little discovery with respect to this type. But again, this worked very well for us. It worked with SignalR. It worked with all the other different frameworks that were going on. And it turns out that you can actually implement the double tap approach on top of the single tap sort of model very easily. Web API is a good indication of this, as it runs on top of ASP.NET. It's also self-hosted. It just gave us a lot of flexibility. Again, obviously, there's nothing in here that would prevent us from doing anything we wanted. All right, so at this point, we were ready to start pushing for 1.0. This took, again, I want to say another couple of months to get through to releasing a 1.0. And the big impetus for doing this was so that Microsoft could know what to implement in their upcoming Katana framework, Project Katana, also known as Microsoft.ON and Microsoft.ON. Everything else that follows that. This included a ton of security work, included a ton of middleware, static file middleware, for example. There were several servers that popped up around this time. No one is probably the most notable, as it's still being actively developed and runs on multiple platforms. That's Nowin, N-O-W-I-N, not to be confused with Owen. There were a few other kind of toy examples of servers, and many of those have kind of fallen by the wayside. Kayak never quite made it all the way to the last version of Owen. As Ben moved over to doing iOS development, he kind of just abandoned that. Nobody else picked it up. There were a few other web servers that showed some promise, but never quite made it all the way. In many cases, it was actually because of Mono support for socket programming, which is, as many of you may know, not very well done at present. At least not that I've... The 4.0 version of Mono may have fixed some of these things. But at the time, I believe all the async methods just actually called the synchronous methods. So the performance was actually quite abysmal. And everyone was sort of either working on or trying to figure out a way to do libuv support. And that actually will be addressed here in a moment, which is very exciting. So not to break the trend of a specification is only a 1.0 if there are multiple implementations, there were, in fact, multiple implementations of Owen. Mark Rindle built Fix, on top of which he built Simple Web. A project that I worked on called Freya is something where I'm continuing to work on now. There was also Simple Owen and Simple.Owen, both of which implemented various aspects of Owen. I believe Simple Owen is the one that had more of like a runtime, and Simple.Owen was more, actually both of them may have had a runtime and some middlewares and things like that, but it was really cool. We actually made it to 1.0. SignalR was built on top. It was quite a fantastic experience to see these months and years of work actually come to fruition and be pushed not only adopted by this community people, the people that had started this thing, but also by Microsoft. And without Microsoft, we never would have gotten to 1.0. People who worked on this thing, in particular, who wrote the spec, were Luda Jardin and Chris Ross, both Microsoft employees doing this in their free time. David Fowler, Damon Edwards, getting SignalR working on this stuff, huge help. You'll recognize all these names as people who are working on ASP.NET vNext. There's certainly a tie between these two things and where we're going with ASP.NET now. Hugely exciting, but still also incredible and exciting to remember that the community actually started this, pushed it forward. It's a small group actually working on Owen today, but it's still very exciting that we were able to push it forward. So as I mentioned, through this push to 1.0, there are a bunch of servers that came about. So Microsoft built the system.web support, which also included the ability to tie into the eventing model of system.web. They built that HTTP listener support. Later on, they built out the Helios IIS support, where you get a lot better performance by skipping system.web and the ASP.NET assemblies and running directly on top of IIS. I think that was always still a preview, but what's coming in ASP.NET vNext allows this directly. There's also Nowin, which is a cross-platform, and then Fracture was another attempt at building a native Owen's web server. With respect to middleware, and this was one of the big things that we wanted to try to build out. So the original goal of Owen was to separate the server from the client. So you could build an application and you could run it on any server. It wouldn't be tied to IIS, it wouldn't be tied to ASP.NET. You can run on anything. But one of the abilities of doing this is you can actually chain in middleware. Now, middleware are meant to be sort of cross-cutting concerns. So handling cross-origin resource sharing, cores. Handling security, so being able to wrap a pipeline of your app behind a security wall that would say, you know what, you're not allowed. I'm going to return a 401 unauthorized or a 403 forbidden before I even touch the application. Another person in the community built out a tool called Superscribe, which did routing as a graph model on top of, as part of a middleware style of building applications. So this one would actually let you tie in either Owen or Web API handlers at various URLs at the middleware layer. So it's sort of like building out a graph in the middleware and branching out based on URL requests or URL patterns and things like that, that would then allow the applications or specific, I guess it wouldn't be a full application, but specific handlers per route to be built out and tied in independently. So as opposed to, like, say, Web API, where you mount up Web API and all the routes are kind of declared either through the attribute routing or whatnot, and they're all pulled in as a cohesive single application, this will let you build out little handlers and then manually tie them in through the routing mechanism. And then there are also diagnostics, again, static file support, things like that. We're all tied in for middleware, all allowing you to run this either self-hosted. You could run it on Mac, you could run it on Linux, you could run it on Windows, all very exciting things. So putting it all together, this is looking at the Katana style of building an application. So if you're building an Owen application today, or if you're building even an ASP.NET application today, you're probably familiar with the startup class. And the way that this was built out, you built out a class called startup. It would have a single method, at least a single method instance member called configuration that took an IAP builder. And then you would do things to that app builder to mount up middleware, mount up applications. And one of the cool things that Katana, and actually Gate before it, because Gate actually kind of was the precursor to Katana, I think Lou in particular, Lou and Chris figured out that you could actually compose an application through the use of middleware. So as opposed to considering an app being mounted in and having middleware wrap around that application, you could actually treat an app as a middleware, and then they have what they call a soft 404. So many of these middleware mounting pieces will look and see, did I make a match? Did I actually handle this thing? And if not, if they return a 404, they will then call next, the next middleware that's coming through. So in this case, as you see, we're mapping app.useCore, so it's going to put cross-origin resource sharing on top. Then it's mapping in SignalR, then it's adding a Web API application, and then it's using Nancy. So if SignalR doesn't handle it, it would fall through to Web API. If Web API gets a 404 and doesn't handle it, it would say, okay, go call the next one, which is Nancy. Now Nancy has a chance. If at the very end there's still a 404 and nothing was able to handle it, then you'll see a 404 appear. But the way this was kind of nice, because now you could actually create SignalR hubs along with Web APIs and then have Nancy mounted in as a way to host your actual, like, say, your views or your Razor views or whatnot into a web app. So you can do like kind of a single page application, still do some server side templating, calling into Web APIs with some WebSocket or service and event sort of support going in here. And so your app gets composed by all these different pieces playing together, all within the same process, all hosted within the same application container that you could run wherever you wanted to. You could run this again on a console, as a console app, as a Windows service, on IIS, on Noen, on Fracture, whatever server you wanted to. So one slightly strange thing that happened, though, is that we had a single artifact called Owen.dll. Now, this was originally meant to provide the delegate signatures for the delegate of Doom. I can't remember exactly how that worked, but it is possible to share the using declarations, that alias types, from an assembly and then be able to reference those elsewhere. And that was what the Owen.dll was originally created to do. IAP Builder was later added towards the end as we got close to 1.0 as a way, one, as a discovery mechanism. So again, if you look back at the way this is hooked up, this app dot, as you add additional assemblies, it will light up different abilities. So the App Builder became a good use or a good tool for enabling discovery. Unfortunately, the App Builder was not specified at all within the Owen specification. If you looked at the IAP Builder interface definition, there's absolutely no tie to AppFunk whatsoever. It looks like a completely separate thing, and that's the only thing that was left in Owen.dll was IAP Builder. This became a point of contention, unfortunately, we are currently working on a spec for something of like a builder, which I think is going to be called BuildFunk. To try to address the fact that IAP Builder was never specified, that there's no kind of definition of how this thing worked. A few people tried to implement their own app builders, and unfortunately, because the only definition of what IAP Builder was supposed to do was in the implementation that was in Microsoft.Owen, many people who built an app builder built them incorrectly, and they weren't compatible with one another. So if you tried to mount in middleware is built for one app builder implementation, it wouldn't work across other app builder implementations, which is sort of frustrating for those who were building the other alternative app builders. Most people probably didn't run into this as an issue. Most people, again, probably use Microsoft Owen and Katana, which is a great tool. And so I don't think many people actually ran into this. It was more the people who had been originally contributing to Owen and trying to continue to contribute and move things forward. And speaking of moving forward, the Owen Management Committee finally was established about a year ago. It was meant to provide governance, manage the specification, manage the website, manage pull requests, other requests, things like that. Several community members converted the specs that were originally written in, I think, Word, and converted to HTML into Markdown. So those are now available for people to review, to edit, to make suggested recommendation or recommended changes to the specification on github.com. That's Owen organization under the Owen repo. And if you have any issues or want to submit or vote on changes to anything, you can go to Owen/Owen/issues and register things that you would like to see. Maybe there's certain keys or behaviors that are missing that you think are really important that you would like to see. Maybe there's some governance things that you would like to see change. We have a couple of those types of things going on. We are still in the process of editing specifications, in particular, the middleware specification. This was another thing that was sort of left off and later on became a point of contention because several people had picked a different way of doing middleware functions. We have agreed on this thing called the midfunc, and there is a specification currently in draft form that also defines the buildfunc. Again, most of these things you should never see on your own. Some people actually use these func definitions directly, but most people end up writing sort of types or other wrappers around the tops of these things so they can get a lot better information about what they're actually looking at, how things work. And that's how most people have ended up dealing with the Owen stuff. Also moving forward, ASP.NET vNext. Now, ASP.NET vNext and MVC6, they're not built on Owen directly. And several people in the community were originally upset by this. I don't think this is really that bad of an idea. If I built some really good web servers, I would definitely want my stuff to run on top. If I had the ability to use static types to verify that things were working correctly, I would definitely want to use those options that are available to me. So I don't have any problem with the way that ASP.NET vNext has moved forward. I'm really excited about it. It looks like a fantastic tool. Some of the new server options that they've created are Kestrel, which is a cross-platform web server that runs on the libuv library that supports both the Linux and Nix modes of sockets, as well as the IOCP socket support for Windows. There's also Web Listener, which is, I think, kind of an updated, modernized version of HTTP Listener, which is quite fast. And again, Helios, which is IIS, is direct running on top of IIS without system web. So it's part of the cloud runtime, that sort of thing. The really cool thing, though, is that we have unlocked our achievement. MVC6 is now going to be something we can run cross-platform. We can run it self-hosted. We can run it on multiple different server options. It's a really exciting thing. Now, just because ASP.NET vNext is not built on Owen does not mean that they don't have support for it. And in fact, they did actually build out support for Owen. So you can run your native Owen signature middlewares directly on top. And a few community members have also created ways to map existing Katana middlewares to run inside of the vNext modes. There were some things that changed, like IAP Builder is now IAP Application Builder, and some other signatures have changed to make things either more clear, easier to do inside of the vNext DNX runtime. But in general, everything that's going on with respect to ASP.NET is extremely exciting. It's sort of the culmination of like what we had hoped to achieve, what is it now, 5 years ago, when we started talking about Owen and what we could do with it. It's a very exciting time for those of us building web applications. So I'm excited about this, and I count this as part of moving forward with respect to Owen. All right, finishing up with moving forward. We would love for people to get involved with this. Again, I've told you the history. We've looked at like where Owen has come from. We talked about a few of the pain points with respect to missing the specifications for middlewares and the builder pattern. We talked about the fact that there's an iDictionary sitting in the middle here that may not necessarily be the best approach. One of the things that ASP.NET VNext has introduced is assembly neutral interfaces. Potentially that's a way of getting off of the iDictionary piece. In general, we were really looking for feedback. We want people to tell us whether you're building applications, whether you're building frameworks, servers, whatever it may be, what can we do in terms of OWN and as a community kind of try to, again, push forward, evolve the web space for .NET, understand what works best, what works well. We really want any kind of feedback you can give us. Look at the specs. Take what's missing. What types of keys are we missing here? We've added several over the course of the past year, but I think a lot of people probably look at it and say we haven't made nearly as much progress in the last year as we did the few years before. We were really pushing to get to a kind of a 1.0 and just get this out the door. How can we make this work better with ASP.NET VNext? Those types of things are questions we'd love to address. We would love people to ask. If you have ideas, please submit those things. We'd love to discuss those further. We also need help with governance. We've had the OWN Management Committee for the past year. That's really just kind of a group that's supposed to be working with contributors and just a community in general to advance OWN and understand better what's going on and how it can work. We followed sort of an open source software model of getting this going because none of us are governance people necessarily. So the model itself is sort of strange in terms of how we're dealing with a specification. Specification is not the same as writing code. There's probably a lot of ways we can advance this thing, make this thing better. If you have ideas, if you have thoughts, if you'd like to join and help get this thing going again, we probably need to have elections again. Nobody's really brought this up and nobody seems to be caring as much about it, which is sort of what happened with the previous governance group we had several years ago as we were trying to get this to 1.0. We'd like to get this more formalized and continue moving it forward, and we would love your help to do so. Again, propose, vote on next steps. You can see our current status and what we're doing at owen.org. You can also find any existing issues and things that the community has already addressed or raised at github.com, at the OWN organization, the OWN repo, and the issues. And lastly, we do still check the OWN working group, Google group, under NetHTTP abstractions, which is linked here. If you have any questions, if you want to go back and look through the history, if you would like to laugh at some of the silliness that was proposed in the past, please do so. We are all pretty good-humored folks. And we welcome any kind of feedback, any kind of involvement, including whether or not OWN is even a going concern. Is this something we should still care about? Is this something we should still pursue and push forward on going forward? All right, I know I wrapped up a little bit quickly there, but I have plenty of time for questions. Again, this was sort of a soft talk, talking about kind of the community organizing, pushing for a new approach for web development, how we did so, how it evolved, what we did, the challenges we faced, how we addressed those as we came along. I'm sure there have to be a lot of questions about how this happened, why this happened, maybe even, you're crazy. Why couldn't you just leave well enough alone? Any questions that you have, I'd be happy to answer. I tried to leave a lot more time for questions in this talk just because in the past when I've given it, I have gotten a lot of questions, and it's been quite an interesting dialogue after the fact. So I'm happy to answer any questions you have. So it's like Ivan Sanders asked, it's cool, I guess, we have the code on visualstudio.com and GitHub, and we can discuss in those locations where they exist. Absolutely. So there's not really a lot of code with respect to OWN. Again, OWN is really just a specification, so all of it is really just text. Again, that's sort of part of the problem of having a dictionary, and in particular a function that takes a dictionary and returns a task. The entire specification is text-based and is available at owen.org or in the GitHub repository. Having it on GitHub in Markdown format is actually kind of nice because you can go and specifically point out various line items and start discussions, create pull requests for changes or suggested changes, things like that. If you want to see specific implementations, Katana, I think it's katanaproject.codeplex.com is probably the most representative implementation because that's the one most people are familiar with and what most people use. So katanaproject.codeplex.com is a good place to go look at actual code related to OWN. Let's see, there's another question here. Does Owen still have a place, in your personal opinion, being that Node.js and others are coming along now? Thoughts? So this is probably one of the more interesting ones that have come up in the past. I think Owen still has a place. The framework that I'm currently working on is called Freya. It's an F-sharp specific implementation of Owen. So we've done some pretty cool things with the functional programming paradigms, and specifically with various features in F-sharp in particular, to add types, and even build up a stack that eventually gives you something close to what Erlang and Ruby have in their web machine libraries. The general idea is that we want to create a stack that gives you the kind of the core elements of Owen available to you. And you can do something as low as working with the basic signatures that are defined in the Owen specification. You can add types to those things. You can compose applications pretty easily with either of those approaches, create middleware pipelines using a very declarative style. And then the web machine piece is basically creating an HTTP state machine. So you basically create like a graph that you can tie into and say, I want to override this behavior, and define these various resources. So Freya is built directly on top of Owen. And we did so intentionally because we wanted to support that specification. There's a couple of other tools like Suave is looking to add Owen support. It's kind of interesting. A lot of the existing frameworks are slowly looking at adding in additional Owen pieces there, so that I guess they support, you know, the more community standards, that sort of thing. Again, because if they support Owen, they can also run very easily within ASP.NET, the new version of vNext, because it has Owen support. So you can tie in these things if you want to add additional the sort of 404 fault, or you can tie it into an existing MVC6 or Web API application, that sort of thing. So it does give you a lot of coverage and flexibility in terms of how you compose your apps. In the past, if you wanted to compose, say, I guess before one ASP.NET, if you wanted to compose several different pieces that you wanted to sort of build separately, test separately, but then tie together, you'd have to typically mount those as separate applications, since they wanted to kind of own the entire footprint of your application. So Owen giving you the ability to tie those apps together and compose an application from multiple frameworks is kind of an interesting thing that's available through Owen. Again, ASP.NET and vNext adds that same thing. So I don't know. We'll see what happens, I think, going forward. I think there's still a place for Owen. I think there's still a place for kind of defining how we want to build these things in terms of a specification, even against the implementations being there for ASP.NET and vNext. In the past, Katana, that sort of thing. Let's see. I think I had one other question above. What are some of the more interesting questions? That one's probably the more interesting one. Do we still see that there's a future for Owen? Another one that has come up a lot is Microsoft still supporting Owen? So Microsoft was one of the primary supporters, and again, both in terms of personnel, free time, contributing to building out Owen, documenting Katana through on the ASP.NET website, building out Katana, building out a lot of the security middlewares and things like that that supported or ran on top of sort of the Owen constructs. Some people think that because vNext doesn't have is not built directly on top of Owen, that's a bad thing, or that says that Microsoft's not doing it. I don't see that at all. In fact, I'm friends with several people in the ASP.NET team, and the fact that they actually added support for running older Owen delegates in the new ASP.NET pipeline, that I think some of them were the original ones that showed how to convert a Katana middleware to run inside of the new ASP.NET vNext middleware pipeline. I don't think at all that Microsoft is not supporting it or condoning it or wanting to do it. A lot of what Owen is more of like a spirit, a style, an approach that we want to push forward. If anything, I think it's more that Owen adapts and evolves along with ASP.NET. We're all part of the same, you know, we all have the same sort of goals and desires that we see the web move forward in .NET in the community space. Owen is sort of just more of the community megaphone for what the community would like to see. Obviously, with ASP.NET becoming more and more open source now on GitHub, taking pull requests, there may be less need for that. But in terms of just discussing like the style and how we want to do it, I think Owen at least serves a purpose there. It can still be useful in that regard. So again, I encourage you to participate, to join in. And in case there are any more questions, I don't see any more coming through. But thank you so much for listening, for joining in today, and for your questions. And it's been a pleasure. And I hope that you do look more into Owen, participate, maybe try to join in on the governance aspects or help out in any way you can. We'd love to have your participation.